Yeah, I mean, the presentation is all of us.
Sorry, it's Richard and Bartek.
You got a mic?
I do, Richard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so for this presentation, I'll be looking at the continuing and discontinued operations, its use in the IFRS taxonomy. And if I could just ask that the questions that we reserve them for the breakout session, because we have about 20 minutes for this part and
introduction, so to say, to the breakout session.
Yeah, we have an introduction, but of course, if you have any questions on clarification, that's fine. But other detailed questions, if you just reserve those for the breakout session.
Do you need a slide up here?
Yes, we do.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, so we have received feedback on the IFRS taxonomy about our current modeling of continuing and discontinued operations with the indication that it could be improved. And we have looked at this feedback and we have identified a few proposals to address this feedback and with the aim of improving how continuing and discontinued operations are currently modeled in the IFRS taxonomy. And in doing this, we have made a couple of assumptions, and we consider that some regulators may not permit the use of axes on the primary financial statements, and that an axes can be used in the presentation on the primary financial statements with the proviso that calculations will only work for column totals and not for row totals. So for this presentation, we'll be looking at the current way we model continuing and discontinued operations in the IFRS taxonomy and the tagging challenges faced specifically for the statements of profit or loss, cash flows, and other comprehensive income. And here you will see how we currently model this axis in the taxonomy. You'll also notice that the default member is the aggregate of continuing and discontinued operations member. And in the taxonomy, it's assumed that by default all elements are continuing unless otherwise stated. You will notice in the example that we have in this slide, amortization expense has an implied meaning of amortization expense from continuing operations. A challenge that we currently face concerns the tagging of the total amount. And looking at this snapshot from a financial statement, you'll see that amortization expense that can be tagged to the existing element, amortization expense. Amortization expense from discontinued operations can be tagged to amortization expense. However, this will have to be done along with the discontinued operations member. However, when it comes to the total amount, an extension would need to be created, and that would be done if permitted by the regulator.
Is that total or required disclosure?
Sorry?
Is the total required disclosure?
No, it's not required. It's not required. But it does happen.
Some companies do it.
Yeah.
Okay, so the disclosure requirement of paragraph 33B of IFRS 5 requires an analysis of the single amount in the statement of comprehensive income. And specifically, these include, as you'll see, revenue, expenses, and pre-tax profit or loss of discontinued operations. And here we have a snapshot of the taxonomy to show how these are currently modeled. Another challenge that we face for discontinued operations concerns the use of axis, and in this case with discontinued operations member to reduce the number of extensions needed by preparers. And this is the case, as you can see in the examples, for where axes are used for primary financial statements. Okay, so we have a number of proposals. One, this would be to change the default of the continuing and discontinued operations axis to continuing operations member. And also to deprecate, well, another proposal to deprecate the existing line items relating to the single amount for discontinued operations. And in so doing this, this would be done with a table, which includes discontinued operations member. Another proposal would be to add an IFRS taxonomy implementation note to the continuing and discontinued operations axis. And this would be to use to indicate that when an entity doesn't report discontinued operations, that the aggregate of continuing and discontinued operations member will not have to be used. Okay. Another proposal would be the change of some of the documentation labels. The aim of this would be to clarify the intended meaning. You'll notice two examples here for profit loss and profit loss before tax. And you'll notice the underlined bit for profit loss for the new, or an addition to the documentation label, and the strikeout for profit loss before tax for the what's going to be removed. There are some line items in the IFRS taxonomy which can be modeled as line items, of course, and at the same time they can also be modeled as dimensions. We're not proposing to deprecate any of these line items or equivalent line items, as we call them. And a reason for this is in the event where regulators do not allow for the use of dimensions, that the preparer can still tag using non-dimensional tagging.
And just for avoidance of doubt, when we have six options, they are not mutually exclusive. We are planning to do all six of them, and we are proposing to do all six of them at the same time. It's not like either or. It's let's do all of them.
Yeah. Okay, some questions to the ITCG, but these will be addressed in the breakout session. Okay. Now, the requirement of IFRS 5 is to model the net cash flows attributable to the operating, investing, and financing activities from discontinued operations. And this is done in the notes or the statement of cash flows. And you can see that this requirement, as modeled in the taxonomy, is just presented here in this tabular format. And for the section line items, the IFRS standards doesn't define whether section line items should be presented on a continuing or discontinued basis, rather continuing or based or in total for continuing and discontinued operations. And some of these line items in the taxonomy, as you can see, include interest paid classified as operating activities, proceeds from sales of property, plant, and equipment, and proceeds from sales of investment property. And we have analyzed a number of financial statements, and our analysis has revealed two distinct reporting patterns. And if you look at example one in the appendix, you will notice that for the section line items, they add up to a section total which represents the aggregate of continued and discontinued operations. And then this is further divided into separate amounts for continuing and discontinued operations. Examples 2 and 3 in the appendix will also show you another reporting pattern we identified whereby there's a single amount for discontinued operations. So for this one, for the staff proposal, we identified that entities can use the existing taxonomy elements without use of the axis to tag the section line items, no matter where the reported amounts are applicable to continuing operations or the aggregate of continuing and discontinued operations. And as an example, the amount for interest paid, which you will see in examples 1 to 3 in the appendix, they can be tagged to the existing taxonomy element, interest paid classified as operating activities. And we also propose to add an implementation note to the axis continuing and discontinued operations, stating that this axis is not required to be used for the statement of cash flows. And this will have a couple of implications for users when tagging in conjunction with the accounting policy followed for a cash flow presentation, and also in conjunction with the calculation link base to identify the applicable parent of the line items, that is. And this will be addressed in the breakout session. Okay. There's currently no requirement by the IFRS standards for entities to disclose components of other comprehensive income into continuing and discontinued operations. And we have identified only a small number of entities that disclose components of other comprehensive income that are applicable to discontinued operations. And as an example, you see this in example 4 in the appendix. And these disclosures that we have identified, they don't meet our criteria for common practice content, and therefore entities would have to use an extension if permitted to do so. And our proposal for this is that entities can use existing IFRS taxonomy elements to tag components of OCI, and also that we'll add an implementation note to the axis, stating that the axis is not required to be used for the components of other comprehensive income, and that will be addressed in the breakout session.
Thank you.
I think that's you got it.
Yeah, thank you, Richard. So that's one big topic for our breakout session is the modeling for discontinued operations. We also have a couple of, I would say, probably lower level topics that came up during the modeling for insurance contracts. And do I press the buttons or?
Okay. Yeah.
There are two topics on the insurance contracts. One is when the requirements of the standard are general, and one is a very specific example of a yield curve chosen because it's a requirement to disclose a curve that I think was never there before. And there is a general question on public feedback. So in terms of the IFRS taxonomy modeling for IFRS 17, IFRS 17 is insurance contracts. What did I do?
Richard, did I
go back? Oh, okay. Some of the requirements in IFRS 17 are very general. You will see examples on the next slides. And in those cases, also because we don't cover the anticipated common practice, so future disclosures that might happen, we go with text block or a text element. On this slide you can see two examples of a text block. So first one is the standard says entity shall provide further information about something. In the second case, the standard says an entity shall provide summary quantitative information. So although it says quantitative, it doesn't really say what those numbers will be. In those cases, we thought the disclosures are more general. They will cover more ground that we cannot currently model explicitly or in a detailed fashion in the taxonomy, so we went with text blocks. Go ahead, Richard. Then we have two other examples when the standard says entity shall explain something, explain the relationship, explain the amount. Usually when the standard says explain, we treat it as a textual explanation. So we don't provide a text block, we just provide a text element. Go ahead. And again, the questions will be covered in the breakout session, so I'm not going to go into the questions now. The second topic is the yield curve. So there is a requirement in IFRS 17 that an entity shall disclose a yield curve that shows how what discount rate has been used. And when we've asked the technical staff and the board, we were told that that disclosure might be either a graph or a table or both. But you know, the ISB does not want to specify whether it needs to be in certain format, because those formats are both used quite often in the actual financial statements now, so we don't want to limit that disclosure. And the question is, what do we do? No, it's fine. The question is, what do we do about it? And what we currently figured is we would put a text block out there, and in case it is a curve, an actual curve, I mean a graph, people can use a text block to tag the whole graph. And in case there is a numerical table, people then can use a table that we've provided where you can disclose your yield by the aggregated time bands. And the standard also says that it might be ranges, not points on the yield curve. Therefore, we have a range axis in it as well. So we thought this would cover both options. However, the general question remains, is there a way of tagging graphs in XBRL that would be better than what we have provided for? And go on. I think we, again, questions we'll discuss later on. And the last question is very general. When we discussed the approach to the exposure draft, by that I mean the proposed taxonomy update, with the board, one thing the board said is, this is a very important document. Let's give people more time than the usual 60 days. We have in the due process that at least 60 days should be given to the public. And that's what we usually do. In this case, at the request of the board, we have this period will be 120 days. But the second question the board asked us, well, is it enough if we just make this period longer, or what else do we do to solicit feedback? Because we have informed the board before that the number of comments we're getting for our documents range between 1 and 5 or 0 and 5. And obviously for the organization on any exposure draft of a standard amendment to the standard, these numbers are much higher than that. Obviously we are not expecting the type of 200 comments that the insurance got, but 2 to 5 practically is not enough then to make meaningful analysis and changes. Therefore, the questions again that will be that we would like to you to answer during the breakout sessions are, what else can we do? What would be the best way of soliciting more feedback? And I think that's it in terms of those slides, and we can go to the break. Sessions, I think.
No, I think at your table, each of you should have a copy of the composition of the breakout groups. Also, should have questions. This was forwarded to you as well. You can discuss up to lunch, and after lunch, we'll have like a 20-minute report back, where really the aim of that report back is to come to some hopefully final recommendations and conclusions. I also would like each of the breakout groups to nominate a voluntary spokesperson, really. Thank you very much.
Any indications for how we should split our time?
That was forwarded as well. We have forwarded you last week a list of questions. each of the tables in a table. The ones has an asterisk against the questions. These are the questions I would like the group to consider first. If there's more time, then you can look at other questions as well.
Thank you.
So we're back here after lunch.
Yes, after lunch. Yeah.
Were there handouts of the questions?
No, they should be in the. I asked this morning, Fran, they should be in the groups.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
I don't know. Yes, it's. You are in Canon Room.
Does everybody know where they're going?